Well, hello again. Thank you so much for being with us to learn about Bitachon. And today is the 4th of Iyar, Tafshin Pei Gimel, April 25th, 2023. Today is Le'ilu Nishmas Izzy Chait, Olav Shalom, Yisrael Meir ben Yochanan, Olav Shalom. At our juncture between the Shar HaSimcha and the Shar HaDaiga, after we're going to complete learning about the virtues and the advantages of joy and serving Hashem in a positive frame of mind, and before we start talking briefly about the ills and the disadvantages of worry, I wanted to review one piece with you that we learned almost a year ago, but it has to do with Pesach. And you're probably getting tired of hearing this expression. We know that we went through Pesach, but did Pesach go through us? Did the lesson of Pesach permeate my being and influence my behavior? Let's be reminded what the great Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal writes in his Sefer Darash Moshe. I had the zechus to have a bracha from Rav Moshe and to spend time with him, part of his minyan near the end of his life. And it doesn't need to be stated what an awesome, indescribable tzaddik, gadol posik he was. And he writes in his Darash Moshe regarding Pesach. What did it say is the lesson of Pesach, of the carbon Pesach, and what does it have to do with our lives? I'll tell you what. You could say to yourself, and I could say to myself, why should I be happy? Really, why should I be the simcha? I have certain challenges that really go ahead and they make it more difficult. Who's doing anything for me? Is it really so much chesed I'm receiving? Look at what Rav Moshe writes in the Darash Moshe. Benira, it appears, Mishum Shehu Atachlis Sheish Lonu Michaga Pesa. The purpose that we have from the Pesach holiday, Ulachal Hashanah, and for the whole year, Ulaolam, and always, there is a huge lesson of Bitachon from actually the Pesach, the carbon Pesach itself. What does it say in the Haggadah when we read this? It's because Hashem, that's right, passed over our houses. Why is that so impactful? Why is it so fundamental? How does it really influence my life? Sheneida, that we should know, Shashem Yisparach, that Hashem, who oseh lanu nisim la'olam, Hashem is constantly, always doing miracles for us. Every moment, bein sheyadu olanu, whether that is known to us, uvein sheyadu olanu, or we might not be aware of it. I don't even realize, I'm not cognizant of the miracles that are happening to me. But there are so many of them, you can't even count them. There is a lot of good happening here. There's a huge amount of chesed, enormous kindness from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, enough to make somebody want to dance, which we won't do during Sfira, unless it's specifically for some purpose. But still, I will be ecstatic if I reflect on this fact, that Hashem is doing miracles. We know the Gemara says, Ein bal hanes makir beniso, the recipient of a miracle doesn't recognize it usually, or often does not. Sometimes the miracles, the favors that Hashem does for us, Hashem's benevolence, is not even known by us. We're not aware. L'mashal. I'll read to you the Rav Moshe's words. And if you were here 40-something vadim ago, then this is review. I could review this every day. It would never be too much. K'she'echad halach baderech. When a person went on a trip. And let me pause here for a minute to ask all of us, including myself, did I go on any trips today? Did I walk from home to work, home to school? Did I drive? Did I take a train? Did I take a bus? How was my trip? How was your trip? Often the answer is uneventful. It was quiet. But Moshe Feinstein points out there's no such thing. No such thing as an uneventful trip. As he tells us, Bein ha-mahalech b'raglov, whether when a person is walking by foot, uvein ha-noseya b'mashin, and he spells it out in the Hebrew letters, and whether a person is traveling in some type of vehicle, b'lo era lo ason, and no misfortune happened, no accident happened. Baruch Hashem, what a wonderful trip this was. Uneventful, right? No, very eventful, extremely eventful. Lo yachshov. The person should not even think for a second, Shuba Derach TV, that that's a natural occurrence. Oh, yeah, by default, the trip should be quiet and uneventful and undisturbed. No, that's not true, actually. It's the opposite. Ella, rather, Shehu Hanhaga Miuchedes. It's a special treatment, a special management and supervision. May Hashem Yisborach from Hashem, Shenosan Deya, that Hashem actively put decisions, he put opinions and mindsets, Belev HaMazikim, in the heart of the harmful forces out there. There's a lot out there that Chas V'Shalom could happen that doesn't. Bahalistim. There are robbers out there. There are criminals. Don't worry, because we have to tell them that they don't touch us. They won't even get close. That's exactly the point here. We have to realize there's, again, I want to quote my father-in-law. He always says that Hashem micromanages. This is exactly what Rav Moshe is saying now, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu micromanages every single detail of the trip. Hashem puts it in their minds of those damaging forces, of those harmful people, of Alev Hanosim, the machines below Achrayos. How about those people? The people who drive without responsibility. They're irresponsible, reckless drivers. Sure they are out there. They often hefker. They drive in a way that's reckless. Hashem literally, Kaviyacho, actively puts into their minds, he directs them, he remote controls them, he directly controls them, that they will not come my way. Shemitzad zeh motzoi kama hezekos or etzichos, parenthetically, Rav Moshe says, that because of this, unfortunately, chas v'shalom lo aleinu, there are many accidents, there are harmful situations, there are even chas v'shalom casualties. It happens every day in the world. But Hashem directs all of these damaging factors and forces, Shalo yiyu oz baderech, that they will not be on the road or on the trip at that time. Hashem literally redirects them or prevents them from coming. It's not like by nature, by default, everything is supposed to be perfect, and that's how my trip was today. No, the opposite. Hashem actually, actively interferes and gets in the way of those who could have potentially harmed me. Because Hashem commanded such a thing should happen in order to protect him. Anybody who has studied weather even a little bit knows that that infamous or famous wonder of Hashem called a tornado that happens in the United States sometimes, specifically in Tornado Alley and other parts. There's what they call Dixie Alley, without getting into meteorology. Those are so surgically precise where they go. I come from upstate New York, Monticello. On Shabbos, I heard there was a tornado in Calicoon Center and Roscoe. You ever hear of those little places? Yep, that's right. A farm got destroyed, and Baruch Hashem, there were no injuries. An auto body shop had its roof lifted off. That tornado, first of all, there are hardly ever tornadoes in Sullivan County, New York. Suddenly, there's a tornado. That's Hashgacha Pratis. It did not go into Monticello, or Liberty, or Rock Hill, or Mongup Valley, all those places there. What's going on? Because Hashem is directing everything. We already know, Mashiv HaRuach, Hashem makes the wind blow. It's not that the wind blows. Hashem makes the wind blow. Morid HaGeshem, Hashem makes the rain come down. Morid HaTal, Hashem brings the dew down. So says Rav Moshe here, that what happens is, Hashem goes ahead, and he directs everything where it's supposed to go. Kitziva Hashem Yisparach Ken, Kedei L'Shamro. Oh, Ribbon Shalom, he loves us so much. Every single time we have a quote-unquote uneventful trip, which we should always have. They should always be beautiful and pleasant and uplifting. Every single trip. Hashem is doing it actively, not passively. Actively, to guard the person. That means when I walked here from my classroom in order to give this vod, that means Hashem was protecting me. Thank you, Ribbono Shalom. I really appreciate it. That's amazing. That's incredible kindness. Thank you for getting me here on the 3-minute walk. Thanks for getting me here. Adam eino margish bahanes. But in general, the person doesn't sense the miracle because it seemed to be quiet and tranquil and uneventful. And Hashem's management of the person's affairs, to rescue him. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu was intervening to rescue him. The only way usually people really appreciate and acknowledge that something was miraculous here, not because it was a quiet, uneventful trip, it's because of Chas V'Shalom, something did happen and the person came out okay. Oh, then already. Oh, then we say that's something to thank Hashem for, right? Yeah, but it's way more than that. Every uneventful trip is definitely something to thank Hashem for. Okay, the machine shelo, machine acher. And when one machine, somebody else's, struck his, meaning when there was chas v'shalom a collision, the yatzah shalem, and he came out okay. Oh, then the person acknowledges and notices that there was Hashem's taking care of his affairs. Abba ha'emes, but the truth is, shegam kishalo ro klum baderech, even when the person saw nothing happen on the way. It is Hashem taking care of the person. It's Hashem's intervention. It's Hashgacha Pratis. Hashem is actually managing every detail of that trip. You're probably wondering, what does it have to do with Pesach? We know this from Pesach. Remember, the Pesach is a lesson of passing over, of the Paschal Lamb. So why? Asher pastach al Yisrael, the fact that Hashem passed over the Bnei Yisrael, the Hikah et HaMitzrayim, and he struck the Egyptians. Now remember that Hashem calls this the Karban Pesach. We were eating the Karban Pesach while Hashem was passing over. Remember that detail. We're supposed to eat the Karban Pesach by Chatzos. The Makas Bechoros happened at Chatzos, and that's the connection that this was happening, this miracle was happening to us, and Hashem struck the Egyptians. Whether the Jew and the Egyptian were in one place and only the Egyptian perished, or whether they were in separate places. Now, we were not allowed to leave our houses till the morning. We had to wait until the morning to leave. So it's very, very likely that many Yidden, many of Bnei Israel, saw no miracle that night. That's what Rav Moshe is saying. They knew about it, but they did not see it. They had to be told, folks, there's something miraculous happening. You're sitting in here having a delicious, succulent, carbon Pesach barbecue with everything else, and out there, there's people dropping because the Mitzrayim needed to be punished for afflicting us. So Rav Moshe points out, even though that if they're sitting in one place and the mitzvah would pass away and not the Jew, they sense the miracle, yoser more meim hoy b'makom asacherim, than if they would have been in other places, meaning if the mitzvah would not be visible. So what's the summary? The Orach HaTzaddikim is about to talk to us about worrying. Sometimes when I'm thinking of undertaking a worthwhile endeavor, a project, a mitzvah, I worry. But what about what about the danger? What about the stress? What about the time it's going to take? So we see from this piece that the Darash Moshe said, we learn from the Karban Pesach that constantly Hashem is doing miracles. How many, many nisim, myriads of nisim, myriads of miracles Hashem performs for us every second, sitting at home also. The Yidden were sitting at home and they were safe from Makas Bechoros. I need to have a Koras HaTov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for sending me simcha. What kind of simcha? The simcha of appreciation that Hashem is taking care of me. Every second He's protecting us. And that leads us to the next part of our journey. And that's called the Shar HaDaiga. And this is going to be relatively short. And the Orach HaTzaddikim is going to talk to us about how it really doesn't make sense to worry, except those situations where we have to have concern, pre-planning, and brainstorming before we get into something, but that is not worry and anxiety, because real anxiety doesn't help anything. It is only detrimental, and that's what he's about to tell us. Part of the content in this chapter, in this parak, is the worry about factors that Rav Moshe Feinstein was just talking about, which we're not supposed to worry about, because if you would put on paper the thousands, I would have to say millions, of potentially dangerous and harmful scenarios that Hashem actively saves us from, protects us from, delivers us from, prevents us from every single second, that I think I'm pretty well convinced that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves me and cares about me. Says the Orach HaTzaddikim, Hadaiga, worry. And this is the Shar HaAsiri, the 10th chapter in the Sefer, Shar Hadaiga. Zos Hamida, Hira, Barob in Yonaha. This trait is evil, meaning it's detrimental, it's negative in most of its situations and applications. And it is recognizable on people's faces. So I was learning this with my esteemed Bechor, Meir Leib, on Shabbos, and I said, well, why does it matter that it is recognizable on a person's face that the person is worried? What do you think about that, Mayor? And we came up with a couple solutions. Maybe, said my son, if a person realizes that it's detectable and noticeable that the person is worried, that could help deter him from being worried. What does that mean? Maybe it would be a good idea for me to work through, first of all, yes, 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 validate, recognize there's something worrying me here. That's okay. I'm a human being. But I could try to work through it rationally and logically and realize maybe there's no need to worry. And if I would do that, maybe I won't have anxiety and then I won't look worried. And that I'll be in a better frame of mind. So if I know that it is recognizable, detectable on my face, that could help prevent me from worrying because I'll say to myself, I don't want to look that way. And I took it a step further. I said, well, why don't I want to look that way? What's so terrible about looking worried and anxious and sad and depressed? What's terrible about that? I know those are different emotions, but they all feed off each other. Of course you know the answer. My face is a Rishus HaRabim, the Bali Musa tell us. My face is public domain and it's contagious. So what happens is, especially among family members, if I see my wife and my kids and other people around who are in close proximity and they see a worried face, what does that do to the people around? It's secondhand cigarette smoke. It's spiritually, emotionally detrimental. It brings people's moods down. So you might say, so what? It's not a halach against that, is it? Hey, what about ve'ahavta le'recha kamocha? We can certainly be makayim ve'ahavta le'recha kamocha by helping other people be in a joyous mood, like we talked about a couple weeks ago. So not to say, I'll mind my own business. If other people are depressed and fighting, well, that's not my problem. We know that that's not the Torah's approach to things. The Torah's approach is that, no, I do care. So therefore, if someone else sees me, that person could be brought down by my mood, especially if that person is a caring person. So maybe I should realize that we're all in an interface situation. Interface, literally. Just occurred to me now. Okay, you can laugh because I think it's a little bit funny. We are all interacting and intertwined. So therefore, the Orcha Siddiqim says, Nikeres al kol ha'panim. You know, when I first moved here for a number of years, I had this list to give a Shabbos Shuvah drasha every week in one of the shuls. And Rabbi Kibbutz Zichron Livracha, he once told me, he said, listen, I want you to give the following Shabbos Shuvah drasha. He said, the title should be, the mitzvah of the ahavta l'recha kamocha, does it apply to close family members? Does it apply to close family members? What do you think about that, huh? I know I'm going to be nice to my colleagues maybe in work, and students, people like that. What about my closest relatives? Do I need to smile and say good morning to them? I'm supposed to definitely try because of course it applies to those people. It applies to them more than anybody else. So as the Orcha Siddiqim tells us, Nikeres al kol ha'panim. If a person's worried, then it's recognizable on the person's face, and therefore it's going to affect the people around me. Now, I can't help that if I'm working through something, and maybe I need to speak it out with a close relative, or a counselor, or somebody. But I have to acknowledge the fact and be aware that it is detectable and it's noticeable. So maybe in order to enhance interpersonal relationships, I could try to work on this mita, and I'm only talking to myself the whole time. I can work on this mita, and therefore maybe I will be more of a smiling person if I can work at least sometimes from the inside out, of course from the outside in also, as we've spoken about before. So the Orcha Siddiqim tells us, as it's written, Reishis Perek Mem Pasuk Vav. Now let's see if you know what this is all about, this Pasuk. Bayaro Sam, and he saw them, Vihinam Zoafim. And behold, they were of type, they were angry, they were agitated. Who is he and who are they? That's right. You got it. Yosef is in jail with the Sara Ofim, the Sara Mashkim. They had disturbing dreams. In the morning, they looked it. So the Orcha Siddiqim says he was able to see it on their faces. What is the purpose of this pasuk? To tell us that it's noticeable on a person's face, how the person feels. Uchasiv, and it's written in Nechemya Beis, this is a little harder to know who's talking to whom. Madua panecha royim, why does your face look miserable? Vata en chacholet, and you're not sick, you're not ill. Now first of all, let us take that pasuk for its independent value. Little bit of a lesson here. If the person is not ill, Baruch Hashem, then why should the person not be smiling? Why should the person have a negative face, a scowl, a frown? Something to try to work on. I know some people are thinking, this is really not realistic. This is not fair. I don't feel well sometimes. I don't feel happy sometimes. I don't really want to smile. I understand. I'm talking to myself, and I'm saying, well, but let's work on the meetup. I'm going to work on this meetup, because if I will try to embrace a positive mindset, and I will look that way. And it's better for myself, for my health, too. We all know that it's better for physical health, too, not only spiritual and emotional health. That is well known. Now, who were these people here? If you look at Nehemiah, Nehemiah ben Chachalia, he was one of the leaders of the Second Commonwealth, the building of the Bayis Sheni. He brought wine to the king, whose name was Daryavesh. We might be familiar with him without learning these topics in Tanakh at great length now, but we know that this was during by the Galus Babel, and his name was also Artaxasta, which was the name for a few kings. Nehemiah himself was actually upset. He was sad. Why? What was it to be sad about? Obviously, he was sad because the Beis Hamikdash was in ruins and Yerushalayim. So the king, Daryavesh, said to him, Madu apanecha rayim? Why does your face look miserable? It looks terrible. Ve'ata ein chachula, and you're not sick. Which made Nehemiah a little nervous. As you can see in the psukim there, the king recognized, Daryavesh or Artaxasta recognized the sadness, the depression on the face of Nehemiah. And he asked him, why does he look so terrible? By the way, that's not something that we should usually do. That could be sometimes, I think, on us, Devarim, to say to somebody, hey, why do you look so terrible? No, I don't think we should do that. That's no sono ishas amiso in Parshas Bahar. That's ono. We can really hurt someone's feelings if we do that. Sometimes people say to the other person, smile. I don't know about you, but I think that could also be onas devarim. That's not such a delicate way of presenting the issue, depending on what society you live in. But here we're talking about Malchus. So Daryavesh, who's the king, said to Nehemiah, he's a king, so this is how he said it. He said, why do you look so terrible if you're not sick? What does this show us? That depression is detectable and recognizable on a person's face. So the Orchos Tzaddikim was extremely practical, and his advice is so beneficial to us, even in just simple, mundane, interpersonal relationships, reminds us that if my face shows worry, that's something very detectable, and it reflects what's going on inside me. So it would be not a bad idea to work on this midah of daiga, of worry. And one of the sages said, one of the wise men said, a great Talmud Chacham, a scholar, Eini motse klal, I do not find at all, ba'anshei nefashas hu'el yonos, among the people of lofty souls, siman daiga, any sign of worry. There's no sign of worry. I wanted to also mention something I always tell myself. Okay, let's reason this out. Let's say something's coming up in my life that creates some anxiety in my mind. There are two scenarios. One of them is I will face that. I will come into that scenario and deal with it somehow with Hashem's help. And with Hashem, it'll be great. And that's the whole thing without worrying ahead. Or I could worry about it and do the same that I just mentioned. Come into that scenario, work through it, face it with Hashem's help. I say to myself, what did I gain from the worry, from the anxiety? That's correct, nothing. It was only detrimental. Why should I allow myself to experience an emotion which is absolutely useless, and in fact, it is actually detrimental and harmful? Because if I would go through, I'm going to go through this anyway. Worrying about it is not going to help anything. It can only hurt. Unless you're talking about the practical type of pre-planning, very, what you want to say, practical anxiety, but it's not really anxiety. It's not emotional. Let's try to work out. Let's have some kind of strategy, strategize, but not to be anxious. It really helps nothing. In fact, there's a muscle, Chazal say, it's about anger, but it's similar to this. They say a person who loses his temper, by the way, anger and worry, we know, are very much related. People who are worried and anxious, often they lose their tempers. We know all the mitos are intertwined. So there's the Mashal Chazal say that when a person is angry, loses his temper, chas v'shalom, loses his cool, isn't in control. It's like a person who puts his head back. All right, I'm going to do this now. Let's demonstrate. I'm not going to do the whole demonstration. Not a good idea. So everybody who wants to put your head back, standing up or sitting, put it way back. And then it says, I know it's a little bit, maybe not refined, but it says the person spits up straight into the air and it falls back on his face. That is, okay, so I know that might have been a little disturbing. I actually said that at a Shabbos Shuvah drasha, and it was well appreciated. I hope the same thing happened today. Worry and anger and anxiety, they're all related, and they are actually useless for the most part. And that's what he's telling us. There's no sign of daiga, of this mita of anxiety and worry, I'm talking about the one that doesn't help us, in the souls of people who are lofty, or ba'anshe nefashas halyonos, among the people who have lofty souls, meaning the people who work on themselves. I want to be one of those people. I would like to be daiga free. I really would like to do that. I would like to purge myself of useless worry and anxiety. It doesn't get me anywhere. It only hurts things. So I'm going to continue to work on it. That's what the whole purpose of the Vat is. Hadaiga ala olam zeh. The last 3 minutes, a few concluding comments about worry. Worrying about this world, lahasig ma'uma, to attain something. Let's say it has to do with something physical, something mundane, something gashmi, a car, a house. I'm worried about a suit. I'm worried about it. I have some kind of anxiety about attaining something. Himaguna ma'od. The Or HaTzaddikim says it's a very lowly trait. Very, very, as we said, detrimental. The lo nim says klal, and it is not found at all ba'anashim, among people, habotkin b'ashem, who trust in Hashem, umaminibo, and believe in Hashem. There is no worry about physical things in people who really trust in Hashem. We're only trying to improve ourselves and help ourselves here so we can serve Hashem better. That's what the whole purpose of this is. So he gives us advice. Hadaga v'hayagon, worry and sadness and sorrow, hey, mechalim halev, they kind of destroy the heart. They kind of deaden our emotions. V'hem choli haguf, they're an illness of the body. We know that there are many illnesses that can come from worry. Anybody who is a doctor or even not a doctor knows. It can affect blood pressure. It can even affect cholesterol, all these types of stress that people have. If we realize that it's detrimental, then we will work on the great, beautiful, lofty trait of emunah and bitachon. Hadoeg al olam zeh, the one who worries about this world, who rachok ma'od, is very far away still. If he's gripped with worry, he's far, minat Torah, from Torah, from being able to learn, b'ha mitzvos, he's far away from being able to perform mitzvos properly. V'atfilah, he's also far from davening, because how can I concentrate on davening if I'm worried? I have to go ahead and cleanse my mind from all these anxieties in order to concentrate on davening. Lachain, therefore, yachush ma'od, a person should be very vigilant and very caring and concerned. L'sakein hamida hazot, to try to repair this trait. L'hosir osomimenu, to remove it from himself. How? By learning about these concepts, about emun and bitachon. The ein sorech laharich bera'asa, says the Aruch HaTzaddikim, there's no need to speak at length about how detrimental and harmful worry is. Ki kol ha-tovos ha-bos min ha-simcha, because all the advantages that come from joy, hein hipuch v'da'aga, they're the opposite when it comes to worrying. So I'm going to tell myself, don't worry, it doesn't help anyway. And I will work through things, and I will try to plan, and I will ask Hashem for help, and I'll be patient. These things that give me anxiety, I'll be patient. As we've said so many times, the first mitzvah in Maseches Avos have mesunim badin, and Hashem will help things be repaired. And whatever I have to go through, Hashem will help me, and it should be as smooth as possible. And that's how it should be for all of us. So Mirtz Hashem, when we continue next week, as we picked up in the Mida of Daiga, we talked about worry today and how Emunah and Bitachon is the opposite. We will discuss how some positive anxiety does exist. For example, worrying that I'm going to forget my learning. Okay, just enough worry to make me review it, so I'll remember it. And then we'll talk about the advantages so we can strike the proper balance when it comes to Emunah, Bitachon, and Daiga. Have a wonderful week. Thank you so much for joining us.